This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد أن نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was described by Anas ibn Malik as مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَكْثَرَ تَبَسُّمًا مِّن رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I have never seen anybody smile more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is not something that was inadvertent or intermittent. This was something that was the norm for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to be always smiling and in a state of contentment and happiness. And this is something that is the effect of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran as Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Haven't we opened up your chest for you? Have we not made things that are very difficult for others to bear bearable for you? And this is a trait of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he managed to carry and bear the difficulties of life that were so numerous and in so much variation. He managed to carry all of that with a smile on his face. He managed to carry all of that while bearing the burden of the responsibility of conveying the message to all people. He carried that while knowing that his time on the earth is very short and he has a lot to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we as Muslims, when we go through something in our lives that is tough, that's difficult, that is at a point might feel unbearable, what we are taught to do is to look at the guidance of the Quran and how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived that guidance, how he implemented that guidance of the Quran. And that's our life. That's what we look at, the Quran and the Sunnah, to find answers and solace and consolation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through an enormous amount of difficulties. And what I wanted to talk about today is how the Quran helped him deal with those difficulties. And this is a topic that perhaps we have talked about before. Perhaps we have heard others talk about as well. But I personally went through this in the last month. As some of you might have known, I had a loss in my family. And it was a very difficult time for me, for my family, personally speaking. So when we're in that situation, and it feels like you're in the middle of a storm, not a physical storm, but a storm of emotions, the thing that we have to turn to is the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sunnah of the Messenger, particularly of how he dealt with the difficulties that Allah put him through. So much, like, he dealt with it so beautifully that he's described as, you know, having sharh al-sadr, content, able to bear things, not reacting, not bickering, not becoming jaded. So content with the difficulties that he's smiling more than anybody else, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, that is the peak of what it means to be able to live your life at its to the fullest, while going through all the difficulties that life throws at you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we were to look at what he went through, just very briefly, he suffered a lot of pain that was personal. Personal meaning it was pain of loss, personal loss, family members that were dear to him, that he lost. You know, everybody has, you know, sometime in their life they will see a relative die, right? But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was even born, his father passed away. When he was very small, his mother passed away. Then his grandfather passed away, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a very little child, as under 7 years old, he's already been through three devastating losses in his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then when he grows up and he has his own kids, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had four daughters and three sons. All three of his sons died in infancy. All three of them. Qasim, Abdullah, Al-Qasim, Abdullah, and Ibrahim, radiallahu anhum. All three of them died in infancy. Three of his four daughters died before the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in total, he had to bury six of his kids with his own hands, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That amount of pain, brothers and sisters, losing six of your children, losing your mother and your father and your grandfather, all when you're extremely young, that is an enormous amount of difficulty. If someone is put through that much, they come out very bitter. They come out very angry. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not bitter in the least, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the point. That's where we look to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the role model, as the best, because he went through the most. And it, what we go through pales in comparison with what he went through, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We look at his losses, not personal like this, like family members, but pain in the moments of joy, which is a really hard thing. When you're happy, you don't want to be sad. When you're in a situation where you feel that this is a joyous situation, you don't want that to be tinged by sadness. But that happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam very frequently. For example, we have the Battle of Badr, the great victory of the Battle of Badr, against all odds. That was a battle that was so difficult. You know, we know the numbers, 1,000 versus 300. But that's not telling the whole story. What's maybe more telling is the number of cavalry, the horses and the horsemen that can attack an enemy. Quraysh, the army of Quraysh, the enemy, they had 100 cavalry. The people of Medina, the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, had only 2 cavalry. 100 versus 2 is not a battle. That is death. So, to win against those odds, to prevail in that first battle, what an enormous victory that was. It was one of the greatest days, the day that Allah calls in the Quran, يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمَعَانِ. It's a beautiful day. In the prisoners of war, or amongst the prisoners of war, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finds a familiar face. Abu al-As, the husband of his daughter, Zainab. And as the prisoners of war are being ransomed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees what ransom Zainab has sent for her husband. The ransom that Zainab sent for her husband was the necklace that Khadija gave her. The necklace of Khadija that she gave to her daughter Zainab on her marriage, that was given as ransom for the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ when he was a prisoner in the Battle of Badr. Can you imagine the pain the Messenger ﷺ must have felt at that point, looking at the necklace of his deceased beloved wife lying in the pile of ransom? In this great moment of victory and joy, it's devastating. It's very difficult. But this was what the Messenger ﷺ was put through again and again, time after time. He was put through this, ﷺ, so that we could learn from him how to deal with our difficulties that are nowhere near as difficult, our losses that are nowhere near as severe. When the Prophet ﷺ's dear cousin Ja'far finally returns from Abyssinia and joins the Prophet ﷺ in Medina, Ja'far was of a similar age to the Prophet ﷺ. They grew up together in the same house. They were practically brothers. Ja'far also resembled the Prophet ﷺ quite a lot in appearance. So they were very, very close. And the messenger had to be separated from Ja'far because he sent Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu and some Sahaba to Abyssinia very early on in Makkah to make sure that there are some believers living in Abyssinia safely, in case, you know, the worst happens in Makkah. Finally, many years later, about a decade later, Ja'far finally returns. And when he returns, it was the day of the great victory of Khaybar. And the messenger said, today we have 2 beautiful victories, or 2 joyous occasions. One is the victory of Khaybar, and the other is the return of Ja'far. And very shortly after Ja'far returns, barely a few months has he been with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he's sent out for another battle, the Battle of Mu'tah. And in the Battle of Mu'tah, many of the Muslims died. And that's where the first great bravery of Khalid bin Walid was showcased. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is describing the scene of Ja'far. First, his adopted son, Zayd, being martyred because the angels were showing that scene to him and he's describing it to the people. Then his dear cousin, who he just finally got reunited with, martyred, and he's describing that scene. And his eyes are overflowing with tears. And he finally describes how Khalid also takes the believers out of that difficulty. That, brothers and sisters, that situation of being happy for a little bit, and then right after that there's some sad thing that has happened. That happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so many times. And yet we find him bearing all this with a smile on his face, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the most immense gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not questioning even once the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment. Not even once. And you know when Umar radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when they signed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which was on its surface a very was a bad deal for the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said to Umar something very beautiful. He said, "Inni Abdullahi wa Rasulu, I am the slave of Allah and His Messenger. I am a slave of Allah and His Messenger. Lan ukhalifa amrahu. I will never go against what he's telling me to do. وَلَنْ يُضَيِّعَنِي. And he will never allow me to go to waste. He will never just abandon me. He will bring me to a difficulty and then bring me through it as well." This was it. This is it, right? This is the peak. This is what it means to be a complete believer. Have so much belief and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's unwavering. So, in light of these examples, what are some of the ayat that help the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cope with difficulties? Because he's a human being, he's going to cry. He cried, in fact, quite a lot when his son passed away, when Ja'far was being martyred. He's a human being. But his heart was strengthened by the Quran. كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. This Quran revealed time again, piecemeal, is to provide strength to the heart of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And its beautiful measured recitation is also what provides strength to the heart and to the soul. In difficult times, when you read the Quran, you know, and it's measured and being read beautifully, it provides soothing comfort, unlike anything else. So some ayat that prepared the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this, I read a few of them before in the beginning, in the intro of the khutbah, which is Surah Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. The whole surah is very beautiful and worth a study, but the particular ayat that we will talk about too is فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. This is a declaration, a statement of fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he has understood it, shows us what it means to live by them. Once the ayat are revealed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, this is how you live by this ayat. That's his whole life. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Truly, with difficulty, there is ease. Truly, with difficulty, there is ease. This is a very beautiful coping mechanism. These two ayat are part of what helps us and allows us to go through these tough times. It allowed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It prepared him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Ashur, the great mufassir, contemporary mufassir, comments on this ayah, and he points out a number of benefits from these two ayat. I'll share about five of them with you. He says, number one, that this ayah says, indeed, with difficulty there is ease. So, difficulty and ease are opposites. They're like hot and cold, night and day. They can't actually coexist in the same time. It's logically impossible. So what does it actually mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them together and says that they are together. What is the meaning of that? Well, the meaning of it is, كانت مصاحبة اليسر للعسر مقتضية نقض تأثير العسر ومبطلة لعمله. That when Allah brings these two opposites together and says they are together, what that shows is that the effects of the hardship are removed. And then the consequences that a person feels after they have suffered are also removed. If a person can understand and believe and internalize this ayah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, the effect of it is as follows. When sadness strikes, when difficulty strikes, that will not paralyze a person from action. That will not stop them from doing what they used to do. This is one of the things, by the way, when you talk to a professional about someone who is about to enter depression, one of the telltale signs of someone entering depression is they stop doing things that were habitual for them in the past. They just don't feel like it. They don't have the energy anymore to do it. They don't find the motivation to, they can't get up for those tasks anymore. It's a classic sign. So the effects of that sadness are negated when you understand فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That's one benefit of the ayah. The fact that Allah says مَعَ, which means with, also is alluding to the fact that both the difficulty and the ease, they come back to back. They come back to back. So the moment the difficulty ends, that very moment, the ease begins. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And this is a beautiful, beautiful understanding. If you understand that this is really difficult right now, but in a minute, it's going to get better. In a little bit longer, it will get better. That understanding will help us get through it. The ayah repeats, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. The ayah repeats. It comes twice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not repeat himself for no purpose. Whenever Allah repeats something in the Quran, there is a very purposeful objective behind that repetition. So what is the purpose of repetition here? The purpose, number one, this is point number three, benefit number three, is that it is to emphasize the effect of the ease. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That is to show that the effect of the ease and the ease itself is more than your difficulty. What Allah will give you as a consequence of you bearing this is far more and far better. So that repetition provides that emphasis. That repetition also means there's a lot of it. This is point number four. There's a lot. So in Arabic, you have one, then you have two, and then you have three and more. That's how the numbers are split. In English, we have one and then two and more, singular and plurals. In Arabic, you have one, two, and then three and more. The two, the category two, could literally mean two. And it also could mean a lot. It could also mean a lot. So for example, when Allah says in the Quran, ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. That then look at the creation of Allah twice, and you will find no flaw in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your eyes will be tired searching for flaws in the perfection of Allah's creation. Now twice here doesn't literally mean twice. Twice here means look again and again, as many times as you want, and you still will not find any flaws in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go for Hajj and Umrah, we say Labbaik Allahumma. Labbaik. Labbaika is two lab, right? There's two of them there. And that is again to show that Allah, I'm here again and again, answering to your call again and again. So when Allah repeats this ayah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, when He's repeating this ayah, it's to show that there is a lot of ease. The difficulty will come, and then with it, a lot of ease will come. Then the difficulty will come again. You will probably relapse. And then with that relapse, you will have even more ease. And then something again will happen that will remind you of your loss, and you will feel sad again. But guess what? It will be even more ease afterwards. This is the point. The repetition is adding the meaning of a lot. أقول ما تسمعون واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور. بسم الله الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا أما بعد. The fifth and final point of benefit from these two ayat is that the repetition is providing consolation. It has the tone of someone consoling somebody. When somebody is consoling a person, they repeat their words. And this repetition is literally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoling the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. It's gonna get better. It's gonna get better. It shows the love and the care that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoyed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by extension, all of us as well. So just these two ayat, and there's hundreds literally in the Quran, that prepared the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that gave him the strength to be able to put up with the most difficult tests anybody could have been put through. This is it, brothers and sisters. People lose their minds when they lose something valuable. A believer is supposed to look at Allah, the book of Allah, and the guidance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the more we look at the book of Allah, and the more we study the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more you'll be amazed at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lived his life dealing with the most severe circumstances. And all of that with a smile on his face. All of that with no bitterness in his heart. No bitterness. Even the man who slandered his wife, undermined his authority, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of the Munafiqeen, even that man, when he was dying, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have any grudges in his heart. He prayed the janazah, he led the janazah for him. And when Umar was trying to intervene, he said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي يَا عُمَرْ إِنِّي خُيِّرْتُ فَاخْتَرْتُ. Umar, I was given a choice. And I have chosen. I was given a choice to not pray or to pray. And I chose to pray. Later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that do not pray ever on the janazah of a hypocrite. But the point here is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not harbor any ill feelings towards a man who single-handedly harmed him the most in Medina. From the inside. That's what it means, brothers and sisters. We get angry, we get bitter, we get upset at everybody very quickly. But that's not what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. That's not how he lives, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding of the Quran and Sunnah. Allow us to live inspired by the message of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alaihi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalin wa fil akhirin wa salli ala Muhammadin fil mala'il a'la ila yawmiddin. Allahumma ahyina ala sunnatihi wa amitna ala millatihi wahshunna fi zumratihi wasqina min hawdihi ya rabbal alamin. O Allah, send your prayers and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allow us to live and die like him and resurrect us in his company on the day of judgment. And give us a drink from his pond on the day of judgment. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaba an-nar. Our master, give us the best in this life and the best in the next life, and save us from the fire of hell. Wa qimus salam.
رسول